The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Derek, what do you do for a living?
Okay. Yeah. You're just gonna start with that. let's see.
This is the New Yorker Radio Hour. Michael Shulman recently talked to the performer Derek Del Gaudio, and their conversation got off to a funny start.
I make things and I try to use the skills that I have to hopefully reveal more than I conceal, but I don't really have a simple answer for that question.
Now, to clarify, you could call Derek Del Gaudio a magician, and you wouldn't be wrong. He's performed illusions with cards all over the world. His stage show, in and of itself, was directed for television by the great Frank Oz, and it's playing on Hulu. But in the long line of illusionists, people like Ricky Jay and Penn and Teller, Derek Del Gaudio is not content to be just a magician.
I have a complicated relationship with that word. I have a background in magic and sleight of hand and illusions, but the context that's created around that word or with that word, it makes it difficult for me to pursue the type of work that I'm interested in pursuing, which is usually in some way or another about truth. It's sort of interesting that someone who's so fascinated with the truth chose a deceptive practice. So I've been grappling with that for some time, of what that means and how to use these skills that I've learned in a way that's in service of truth rather than deception.
Deception is the theme of Del Gaudio's new book, Amoral Man. Amoral Man is a memoir, and it describes a period when he took a break from performing and used his card skills to be a bust-out dealer, a dealer who cheats the players to benefit the house.
So I was hired to be a bust-out dealer in a private poker game in Beverly Hills when I was around 25 years old.
And by this point, you had already learned a lot of these skills, right?
Yeah, I had a lot of, well, not all of the skills. I had acquired many of the skills I needed. I'd never dealt a professional game of cards in my life. But I had the technical prowess as a sleight of hand artist to achieve the maneuvers that were required to do the things in the game. It was just a matter of, did I have the mental ability or lack of whatever morals or ethics are required to do these things?
And just to be clear, this was not a casino. Like, what? Can you just tell us, like, describe what the setup was at this place?
Sure. So imagine a house in Beverly Hills, behind a wall, a tall wall with green vines growing on it. And this is the kind of house that those Hollywood celebrity tour vans drive by, and they say Brad Pitt lives in that house. You know, this is one of those houses, and inside they would host what are essentially parties. And in one of those rooms was a gaming table, generally a poker table. This house also included a professional chef who could make whatever you wanted, and a bar with a bartender and a few cocktail waitresses. It was just a nice place to go play a game of poker. At least that's what it looked like.
None of the rest of the staff had any idea that you were a bust-out dealer, right?
Correct. Everyone else was basically an unwitting participant, or unknowing participant. And they were hired just to be part of a party that was going on that happened to have a poker game in the back.
Yeah. And the whole point of this operation was you.
Yeah. It all centered around my ability to direct and alter the narrative of the game, because it was never a game. It just looked like one.
And just to get a sense of like the money that was involved, how much money were these players being cheated out of every night, and how much were you making from that?
It was a $10,000 buy-in, and so at any given time there was, you know, as little as $30,000 or $40,000 on the table, up to $150,000 at any given time.
Did you struggle with the morality of what you were doing to these players?
I found it very easy to tell yourself whatever story you need to justify your actions. And the people who came into this house and played in these games, they were legitimately, they weren't great. I saw, a lot of people doing drugs and guys, cheating on their wives, and I was able to look at them and think they were the villains in the story. And I was too wrapped up in the journey of it. I hadn't been successful at anything else. This is kind of the only thing I was good at. And here's a place where I'm finally valued, and the things that I can do are literally valued financially, and I'm treated well. And so it really, in a sense, seemed like, maybe this is all I'm good for, is this. And so I knew it was wrong, but I didn't realize what I had become or what I was becoming.
So can you maybe show me over Zoom even like an example of these skills that you had learned?
Sure. I'll show you something very specific. One of the techniques, which varied in how I used it, was known as a bottom deal. So if I were to have some cards on the bottom of the deck that I wanted to be able to deal, I have to somehow take those cards from the bottom and have them look like they're coming off the top. It has to look like what it's supposed to look like, which is you're just dealing a card.
Right, which it totally does over Zoom. It just looks like you're dealing, but I know that you have that Ace of Spades on top there.
Right. That's actually, as you find over the years, you don't try to make your bottoms look like your tops. That's kind of impossible. What you do is you try to get your tops to look more like your bottoms. In other words, you make the real deals look more dishonest and match the dishonest deals so you can't tell the difference. The way that these false deals are simulated, or the way that these shuffles are simulations of shuffles, that extrapolates out to everything. That to create a convincing illusion, for instance, there was in the house I dealt, there was a sports memorabilia there, which was signed and autographed, but it was all fake.
Really?
Yeah, they faked. You don't want to spend money on real sports memorabilia that was signed, but they wanted to give the illusion that this was a house where people liked gaming and they liked sports and they liked.
So this was totally the Matrix that you were in.
That is it. And that's what life is like. everything that's around me has been made by a person, really. And so what was the intent of that person? And why was this thing made? And what was its intention?
Do you, are you constantly on the lookout for, you know, reality not being what you perceive it to be?
I'm at least mindful of the fact that it might not be, that all of this might not be what I think it is, that every truth that I'm living, I'm aware there might be some illusion or complete illusion involved with whatever my perception is of that truth. And watching people really believe in fiction as though it's truth is you can't shake that. They really believe it the way that you and I believe that we're talking right now. They believe it with that much conviction.
Well, we are, in fact, talking right now.
We are, but it doesn't have to be. For instance, you could hire an actor to, or a voiceover actor to recite everything I've said so far and play that for people instead of playing what we've actually recorded right now. That's one way to do it.
So people would be listening to this conversation and they would think that they were listening to Michael and Derek, but they would actually be listening to me talking to an actor playing you, saying all the things that you said to me during this interview.
Yeah, I mean that. Everything they've heard will be true for them.
Everything they've heard will be true for them,
including who I am as a person.
My voice and who I am as a person, until you reveal to them that it's not.
Okay, so we actually did do that. Our producer, Alex Barron, went back and recorded everything that Derek said to me up until this point. So you've been hearing Alex. This is Derek.
And when you reveal to them, it will change everything. It will recontextualize everything they've just heard and everything moving forward. And it's that uncertainty of knowing what's real and what's not that's interesting to me.
Ta-da!
And then one night you had an epiphany. Can you say what happened?
Yeah, I had... there was a regular player that I had seen a few times before, and it's very common for players to tip the dealers, and they usually do that by giving them a poker chip. And one night, this particular player, we had just beaten him for all of the money that he had, so he had no poker chips left. But he stood up and he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a $5 bill, appeared to be the last money he had on him, and he gave it to me. Here you go, and he's, here you go, dealer, I wish it was more. And in that moment, I recognized the absence of humanity in what I was doing. And it, for some reason, that dollar bill, as opposed to a poker chip, it's one step closer to what we would call real, you know? And everything was a facsimile and, it was all a simulation of what was happening in that space. But this was a real object entering and a real moment of this guy who just lost everything. And I realized this is not, it's not just about what I'm doing, and I need to really evaluate if this is the life I want for myself.
I guess how do you, walking through the world knowing that this kind of deception is possible, how do you, you know, do you have any advice for people who are just kind of exasperated by the idea of objective truth being gone somehow?
For me, it just shows the fragility of our state, of our, how you can convince anyone of really anything if you set your mind to it. There are people doing to us on Facebook and social media what the people in the house that I worked in were doing to those poker players. All deception is the same in this regard. It's creating strategic ambiguity between what's true and what's false. It's not about making your false seem more true through truth seem more, it's about you can't tell the difference between either. And if you can't tell the difference, it doesn't matter. It's not a question of, does it look like it's coming off the top or the bottom? It just, they all look the same.
So this is like Donald Trump saying over and over again, you know, the election is rigged, before the election happens. So that once a normal election happens, no one can tell anymore.
That's exactly right. It's all based on, I don't give a shit about making my lies seem like truths. If I can just make your truth seem like lies, then I've created a playing field that I now control. And that's how he wins.
So how did you actually leave the job? Did you tell them you were quitting?
No, I didn't tell them I was quitting. I just left. And hoped there would be no repercussions.
Badass.
I don't know about that, but
they walk away from the explosion without looking back.
Derek Del Gaudio's special, in and of itself, is on Hulu, and his memoir is called A Moral Man. He spoke with staff writer Michael Shulman.